Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Danny, as exciting as week one was on Sunday against the Giants, and as optimistic as everybody felt, I sensed that same amount of pessimism today after a real butt-kicking at the hands of the Packers, who outcoached and outplayed and just manhandled Washington in all phases. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We are here to call balls and strikes. That's what we do on this show, and this was not only a ball. This didn't miss right off the plate. This bounced at 45 feet. You know, this was a high pitch that went all the way to the screen from Charlie Sheen in Major League, right? We'll break it down from all angles. I'm not really going to ride the week-to-week wave, though. In the same way that I wasn't claiming here comes a Super Bowl run after they pummel the Giants in week one, I'm not going to sit here and make this a referendum on the rest of the season, that suddenly they're not a good team, that now they're a 7-8 win club. I'm just not riding the wave like a surfer. I'll talk about this game, sure, and it was ugly, and it was bad, and it was the worst we've seen Jaden Daniels, and it was Cliff Kingsbury's worst game with the Commanders, and it was Dan Quinn's worst game as the head coach of this team. It was really, really ugly. The worst part about it, though, was the injuries.
The injuries.
I mean, that's where, sustainably, I won't ride the wave, but Austin Eckler's not coming back through that door this season. He's lost with a torn Achilles, almost certainly. We now know Dietrich Wise with that torn quad, one of the best dudes in the locker room. Big, important presence against the run. He's not coming back. That is my concern. That is my frustration. In addition to just getting worked over and getting your butt kicked, they lost some really key pieces to injury yesterday.
100%. And here's the thing. For the, it's just week two, no one say anything because it's week two. Yeah, I understand that. I would have loved to have played this game in week four. I would have loved a different rest situation for Washington, etc. And I don't know if Green Bay is going to be this good in December or in January. Nobody does, right? There are ebbs and flows. Remember when a couple years ago Arizona was undefeated out of the block and they couldn't be beaten, or Philadelphia was unbelievable before they collapsed down the stretch. A million things could happen between now and then. But here's what I know from last night. This was an exposure game where the reason I thought they would be 0-2 to start the season, grateful I was wrong, the Giants are terrible and they were manhandled, the Giants are way better than them, but was what we saw last night. How sluggish, sloppy, without many counterpunches that offense was. Green Bay's defense is excellent. I just saw what they did to Detroit. I saw what they did to Washington. If you aren't on your P's and Q's, they will beat the brakes off of you. We saw that last night. But you compound that with the extra layer of all those injuries for integral players. I mean, really, really meaningful players. You saw how they might be limited defensively. Their pass catcher still wide open. Whenever anybody wanted to, they could get a dozen yards against Marshawn Lattimore, or they could go to Tucker Kraft. Choice is yours. And offensively, they couldn't protect. Josh Connolly got exposed again. Again, it's a tough intro. It's a tough opening, but there are weaknesses right now. And then you mentioned the injuries that they're going to really miss Wise. They're going to really miss John Bates for the time that he's out. And they're going to really, really, really miss Austin Eckler.
I hope John Bates can be back for the Raiders because he's sneaky, so important for them. When he wasn't available for the rest of that game, that's when Connerly really got exposed.
Yep.
That's when Micah Parsons had 6 of his 8 pressures in the second half, and they just had no answer because they couldn't keep one of the better blocking tight ends in the league in tight, in formation there to help out their young tackle, who has been thrown to the Wolves. And by the way, this is not an excuse, right? Connerly struggled against the Giants. He was worse against the Packers. This has been a really rough first two games.
Yeah, these are great opponents. They are.
He's going to be a good player. I think there's actually a conversation to be had sometime early next week. Going into a matchup now with Max Crosby and the Raiders, I'm not an Andrew Wiley guy per se, but I don't know if you can keep doing whatever this is right now with this young player who, at least to this moment, has not quite been ready for the bright lights. And if you're going up against a team with a starting edge that is not on the caliber of a Micah Parsons, a Max Crosby, a Brian Burns, okay, fine, let's throw Connolly out there. But with Crosby coming to town next, I think that's a real discussion that has to happen. But there's so much blame to go around here. It was a game, the antithesis of a week ago against the Giants, where I just felt like we could sit here and just name players and give out game balls and everybody did something productive, and it felt like this complete effort. The offense wasn't perfect, but know, they're a play away on a miss to Terry McLaurin against New York from 500 yards and 30 points. In a day where we're all saying that's a C effort, right? The defense was incredible against the Giants. This is kind of the inverse of that.
Yep.
Like, what worked? Who thrived? We're going to do game balls and gassers in a few minutes. Who do we possibly give those game balls to? If we're looking for a list to start with on a positive front, Tressway almost didn't play with an injury. And then he averaged basically 47 yards net per punt. He dropped a couple balls inside the 10. He had a 55-yard punt to open the game that pins the Packers down to the 6. Now, they go 94 yards to score a touchdown, and on two different drives in this game, they went 90-plus yards to score, something that has only happened three other times in all the other games in the NFL early this season. But Tressway, who was hurt all week and barely got to practice, was awesome. I thought their return units, again, were incredible.
Yeah, Lane had a great one. Samuel did as well.
Deebo Samuel had a 50-yard kick return. That's why he's back there. And Jalen Lane had a 23-yard punt return and averaged 17 on return. So on both kicks and punts, they had a really clean, really impressive performance. I thought their coverage units were very solid again. You can't say special teams were good because you might have a kicking problem. Matt Gay missed two field goals from 52 off the crossbar on the right and from 58 wide left. We were on the couch last night in my basement. We did a live watch on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream. If any of you check that out, thank you. And we should also say thanks to Ryan,
yeah,
who was the mastermind, and then Toby and Darius, who after hours came out and hung out with us. Chris Russell came by.
It's a lot of fun, man. I appreciate everybody participating, being willing to do that, sacrifice, you know, their evening. And those that watched and were chatting it up and having a grand old time with
it
us.
Was
really cool.
You and I, like, you on air more so, me behind the scenes, were pretty cynical about this. Like, just kind of how few people would care or why we were doing it. It was a smashing success.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of people seemed to like it, and a bunch of people even, like, unsolicited just sent money in the YouTube that probably goes to Odyssey that we'll never see, but that was nice of them.
Yeah.
Like, people were just being very kind, and
really
it was cool. I bring this up, though, to say we're sitting there on my couch, and my initial response after the second miss was, I'm not willing to say they have a kicker problem with Matt Gay because these are 50-plus. And somebody brought up the point, and it's so true. In today's NFL, 52 is now like 44, 45.
Mm-hmm.
That's just got to be a field goal you make. 58, as crazy as this sounds, you're probably not going to attempt very often, and that's more of a 50-50 proposition. But most of the kickers around the league are going to drill that kick. And if you look at his last 2 years in Indianapolis, Matt Gay missed 14 field goals, Danny. 11 of them were 50-plus.
Tells you the story.
He basically struggled from anywhere beyond 49 yards, which is not going to cut it. So you could say kicking. An issue. The defensive front, we said we're going to find out. Was that about the Giants? Was it about the Commanders? It feels like it was more about the Giants today. But that's kind of the end of the road on the positives. They got outcoached. They got outplayed. I just thought Matt LaFleur and his play calling completely worked Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. And on the other side, this guy Haflin is going to be a head coach. What about this theory? I think Kingsbury has roasted a bunch of the NFL longtime defensive coordinators with this new college-y type offense, not a pejorative, just what they're doing. I think Haflin, who came from college, had all the answers for what they wanted to do with Jaden Daniels.
Seemed like it. Yeah, I mean, you look at that. That zone they ran, which was in a couple layers, they basically had four guys flat at the 10 to 12 yard mark. And then a couple guys running deep to capture different thirds. Basically going, I know where you want to go with the ball. Our guys are going to be in your zones, right? And occasionally they would go man, and they could lock up guys like Noah Brown and Jalen Lane couldn't separate at all. I mean, they got an issue there in that regard. This is now the blueprint. Now, not everybody can get after the quarterback the way that this group is going to. But, I mean, to me, that was one of those, there's no mystery here. We got it. We might give up a couple things underneath. We might give up a couple dump-offs to Deebo Samuel or Eckler. Or, you know, and as you and I suspected before the game started, they'd be able to get some stuff to Ertz here and there. And, you know, he capitalized one time, had a great catch and run. Actually thought he played really well, especially when they were down big enough. But
that's a good point. Ertz is the player of the game.
Yeah.
Because the catch and run for a touchdown.
It was a really nice play.
Didn't look like Zach Ertz. That's 14 yards of yak making a guy miss.
That's
six
a
for
shimmy,
64.
Yeah.
He had a game.
Stopped on a dime, turned, power to the end zone. Really good play. But, I mean, to me, looking at the other side again is defensively.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
And this is why, again, it's not just about this one game to me. Everybody who's wants to tell you it doesn't matter, I'm going, hold on, not so fast. What was their offseason plan? What did they want to do? Improve the run defense. And everybody had a chorus, and everybody shared how important that was, and it was the biggest thing since sliced bread. You got to improve the run defense. They held Josh Jacobs to 3.4 carry. I will take that every time. Green Bay handed the ball to Jacobs 23 times. Every time they did that, it was a favor to Washington. Thank God they did that. They could have had infinitely more yards through the air. They had a design. They had a scheme. They had a concept where they would go, whoever Marshawn Lattimore is covering, we'll put him in motion, and it's easy pickings. It's cheating. Lattimore was exposed last night. All he's done is commit penalties and give up catches. Benjamin St. Lattimore is here. Congratulations. That was, to me, the most telling part. Everybody who saw that, and that's America, that's every coach, is going to go, oh, that's pretty good. That's a nice concept.
To this point,
I'll get after that.
You know, Lattimore after the game, I thought, kind of took the plan to task a little bit, if you saw his quotes, where he said, look, they just ran man beaters. We were in man. And it's true. We talked about this while we were watching the game constantly. Early in the game, they picked on him by just bringing receivers, normally Wicks, across the formation in motion. Instead of passing receivers off and just staying on a half of the field, Lattimore was traveling all the way across the formation, running man. That's what happens. And so a couple of times, before he can even get over to the other side of the formation, they're snapping the football and running outbreakers away from him quickly to the sideline in quick game, and he can't get close. So some of that was they had a really good plan and they schemed it up. But that's not all it was. He gave up a very deep completion in this game. Had nothing to do with motion. He says he got pushed. I think you thought maybe there was
a push-off.
But it's, you know, this is now, I think it's five. It might be six penalties on him in two games.
Yeah.
I know it's at least five, though.
I need though, my guy making near $20 million a year.
Yeah.
To not go, oh, they ran man beaters. Please cover the dude that had 39 catches last year. Please be able to do something about that guy running wild on your ass. They ran man beaters. You make $20 million. Cover that dude. How about that? How about it should be an advantage the way it was for them against us?
Right.
They're going, the secondary that was beat up, that was the weak link. Everybody you talk to from Green Bay will tell you, hey, that's not the strength of our program. Didn't look like it last night. Blanketed over Jalen Lane. Blanketed over Noah Brown. That wasn't an issue for them. I need you to do that as a marquee high-level player, allegedly, to Dontavian Wicks, please and thank you.
Well, speaking of guys that make a lot of money, if we're going to go the route of what I call the remember the Titans takes of like, hey, you want to be a star? You better give me a star effort, Petey. Mm-hmm. Right? If we're talking about money, Daron Payne, $26 million, highest paid player.
Uh-huh.
Sang his praises all week. Looked
he
like
was great in week one. He
a
was.
All pro in week one. Milk carton in yep. this game for the most part. And in fact, didn't get on the stat sheet until the final drive with a assisted tackle on a run. Now, that position, there's times where you can be effective enough and you're not on the stat sheet. I think he even did draw a holding penalty at some point. But it was a game a lot more like the last 2 years for Daron Payne yep. than this one. Terry McLaurin held out all of training camp. I'm a number one wide receiver. I want to be paid like a number one wide receiver. Rumors are Buddy Baker's asking for $40 million at one point. He is through two games now at 75 yards, which, by the way, shockingly, is more yards than he had through two games last year because he got off to a really slow start. But my issue here is the Packers' corners are their underbelly. Mm-hmm. That is the soft underbelly of this team. If you talk to Matt LaFleur, if you talk to Hafley, and you give them some truth serum, if you talk to anyone who covers this team, they will tell you the secondary is the issue. Now, you wouldn't have known it last night because Washington's receivers could not get open. Terry McLaurin did not separate, could not beat these guys. I don't know who Nixon is, number 25. I don't know who that person is.
That's the greatest living cornerback as far as I'm concerned.
That put him in a damn gold jacket. He was on Washington's wideouts last night like Blanky on my son when he goes to bed. they had no room. Even Noah Brown, who did some okay things other than drops at the end of catches, like, he has got guys draped over him. They couldn't get anybody free. A couple of the little crossers and drags, middle of the field for Debo, notwithstanding. There was no separation at all until late in the game when they hit Luke McCaffrey down the field for 19 yards and no one was around him. I don't remember plays where Washington got loose, got free. And Terry McLaurin, 9 targets, 5 catches, 48 yards. If you look at the QBR on throws to him, the percentage of completions on throws to him, Danny, even when he was struggling through 2 games last year, it was more of a usage target thing. They're not hooking up, him and Jaden. They're not on the same page.
Right.
It's almost like, almost, maybe not doing anything with him all summer probably wasn't the best way to go.
Yeah. I mean, as you go through, he went through this preseason, right? Went through the training camp and the like. The reports or the observations from guys that were out there, I know you were out there some, but for a lot of folks that were there on the daily, it's, yeah, the offense hasn't clicked yet. Anyway, here's the next reporter. Here's the next person. Here's the next thing. And at some point, you got to play well. And again, that's why I go back to my hypothesis about this season, about how they would start. I hadn't seen them put anything good on paper yet or on film yet, whatever you want to call it. And they still haven't just yet. I do think better days are ahead. I don't believe that Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels won't be able to connect at all. I don't think that's now a slam the gavel, that's the end. That's not the case. But early on, it is the case. Early on, this offense has not been sharp. Early on, I don't know if it's predictable. I don't know if there's not certain things available. I don't know if they can call stuff that goes a little bit further than that zone where the Green Bay had set up. Right? They were either in man or that kind of zone. Again, 4 across, 10 yards away.
They couldn't last night. They couldn't protect.
And they couldn't protect.
By the way, we haven't really talked about Jaden Daniels. So it's 2 games now. Nothing's changed about how I feel about Jaden Daniels, how everyone should feel about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He's a special player. He's got a chance to be an elite quarterback. He can win from the pocket. He can win with his feet. Last night, the Packers did what pretty much no one could do all of last year, which was keep him from running the football. And I do believe when you do that, that is going to be how you make him look pedestrian. Yes, he can win from the pocket. And yes, very frequently he will. But this was a game. They were so rare last year. Frankly, when he didn't have a broken rib, I don't even know if there was one, where you just kept waiting for him to make a play. And I don't even know that it's fair, right? But if he is going to get the $250 million, if he is, we're talking about him in the class of Allen and Lamar and Burrow and whatever, then at some point I need you to elevate and to kind of just drag everyone into the fight a little bit. And you kept waiting, and it didn't really happen. By the end of the game, by the way, let's not forget, he was limping really badly.
Yes.
I think that's kind of being forgotten today. Jaden Daniels with ankle, knee, whatever that was, he did not look healthy at the end of the football game yesterday as he was limping around.
I think there's something going on there.
He took a lot of shots. The pass protection gave up a ton of pressures. Connerly individually allowed 9 pressures last night. But this was statistically, this is not an opinion, I'm just giving you, I'm literally telling you the numbers here. This was the worst game of Jaden Daniels' career in yards per play, downset conversion rate, explosive play rate, success rate, EPA per play. This was it. It's the worst game they had under Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, if you look at the metric of percentage of explosive plays, they have not had a game this ineffective since the start of last year with Kingsbury. A lot of that was the O-line getting their butts kicked.
Yep.
But the blame goes all over the place to me. You know, in terms of accuracy, Daniels has not been at the level of last year through 2 games. I think some of that is time on task in the summer. They didn't play a snap in the preseason. I hated that. I'm not trying to sit here and be the guy that just confirms my priors, but I have to wonder if that could have helped a little bit as I watched Green Bay, who played 2 preseason games, be in rhythm. And then the defensive front. You know, where were any of those kind of impact moments from a week ago? The Packers did not have 2 offensive linemen among their starting 5.
You wouldn't have known it.
430 net yards. Jordan Love going for almost 300 on 19 completions. Did they touch him? You know, they had the 2 sacks, one of which he kind of gave up on, 13 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and Armstrong two-hand touched him down. But other than the 2 sacks, there was only 1 other hit on Jordan Love all night. 1. So it's frustrating today. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the team's terrible.
No.
Or see that they're really – last year was a fluke. They're going to go 7-10. You know, I was driving in listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and a caller was like, who'd they beat last year? And, you know, the Lions were hurting the playoffs. To me, this is not time to do that. If they lose 2 weeks in a row after this to the Raiders and the Falcons and they look like this, we can have different conversations. Mm-hmm. I think you leveled up against a great football team that whooped you.
Yeah, it's a reminder, you're not there. Now, will you be there at some point this year? That's the goal. I think it got harder with some of the injuries they just experienced. And it was my biggest fear coming into the year about some of the good fortune they had at, you know, for the oldest roster in the league. They kind of got away with it last year. And early on, it's not necessarily a one-to-one. Who knows if Austin Ekeler was 23, would he have torn his Achilles? Or if Dietrich Wise would have been injured that way if he was, you know, 22 years old. I have no idea. But the point is, an older roster, there is a correlation that often happens. And they got away with it last year to a high degree. So, yeah, the road got tougher. But it's the league, and you know, you got a little bit more time now to lick your wounds, respond, hopefully clean some of that up with some good practice time. And I would expect them to be much better against the Raiders for two reasons. One, the Raiders are not the Packers. They're not terrible. You got Pete Carroll and company to not be terrible by design. But you need to be a lot sharper on offense. A lot sharper on offense. That to me is the most essential part of this. They have not done it this season yet. That's preseason. That's training camp. That's now through a couple of weeks. Where this team's bread was buttered last year has simply not been there yet.
So I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth for a second, because I keep saying, like, this was a bad game. I'm not going to let it be a season referendum kind of thing. Here's the other part of that, though. I don't think we can underscore enough how big of a loss the Dietrich Wise injury is from a leadership or run-stopping standpoint. His size is irreplaceable on the edge. They have this plan that can only work, essentially, if you have a guy like that helping you to stuff the run. I think that is a massive loss. And Austin Ekeler on offense is a huge blow for
them.
I guess Jermaine McNichols becomes your two-minute, four-minute guy catching the ball to the backfield. We're about to find out if Bill can be a receiver. What's he like in pass pro? But Eckler's incredible in pass protection. He's an awesome leader on offense. I mean, those are really significant L's that you took yesterday in terms of not having those guys around. Way, way bigger deal than the outcome of any one game in September, in the second week of the season. You know, it's September 12th. Like, you can lose a bad game. That happens. It's those two losses where those guys aren't coming back that kill you. One more thing on coaching, because, again, I can't come back to this enough. I just thought in every way they got outcoached and just their plan looked bad.
Yeah.
And they got – at every turn, the Packers were two steps ahead of them. How is it possible that Austin Ekeler had twice as many carries as Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt after what we saw in week one from Bill? How is that possible? I'm not sitting here pretending like I wanted them to run the ball 30 times. They tried to run early. It didn't work. I wanted to go spread 11 personnel in quick game. So I'm not beating them up for not running it more. But you had 12 carries between those two guys. And after a game in which Bill proved he's pretty dynamic and made a lot of guys miss and did some really cool things, he gets four of the 12 carries by running backs? What is that? Like, how was that the idea going into the game? We'll use Bill less. And I don't think that's what they thought before kickoff, but it's what happened. He got four chances to help you yesterday. Ekeler got eight as a running back and then another two as a receiver.
For me, the coaching part that I care about even more is the end of the first half. That's an area where they dominated last year, going 2-for-1, ending the first half with the ball, starting the second half with the ball, the old Belichick Patriots double play, double dip right there. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what that was. Second straight week, by the way, with some dubious clock management there that's kind of reared its head. Where, again, end of the first half, you know, Daniels throws against the Giants, throws the ball away, ends up with a intentional grounding penalty. Well, that should have been or shouldn't have been. I didn't quite understand what the plan was there when they could have spiked it, could have timeout early. They've wasted timeouts. They've squandered them in a couple different sets of circumstances, including the second half last night. I'm not loving the operation and management there as well, which to me is imminently more controllable. Plans, you put them together, sometimes they don't work. That's the league, I think, sometimes. That, to me, is a controllable, fixable thing that needs to be.
I thought that the end of the half was symbolic of a very conservative mindset all night long, where they kind of, I don't want to say played not to lose, but they played it like Green Bay's better than us. We got to keep. Let's hang around and wait for them to make a mistake. Like, to me, that was the mentality. Mm. Whereas you saw against the Giants, they played like a bully. We're going to go in there and whoop them because we're better. I thought the end of the half, you're going, let's not give them the ball back. Let's not burn any timeouts. Let's make sure they can't do anything better than what we can do. It was a very conservative, nervous way to go about it, and I think that showed up in other ways
Yep.
last night as well.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.